some scripture passages are very short, and we get to dive in and do that. This morning, Bob looked at me and went, "How are you going to fit all that in?" Well, we're going to stay for lunch. No, we're not. I'm not feeding you again, no. Do you know what? As a church, as a family, we need to understand what it's like to have conversation around the table. Now, we try to keep things very nice and, you know, general topics so we don't offend anybody. I want you to know that this scripture is all around the table. This is Jesus' dinner conversation. It doesn't just go on, "Oh, I hope the weather was nice," or "I hope this is going well." Guess what? Cut off your hand, cut off your feet, have a millstone around your neck. It just leads to dessert, doesn't it? What happens is John starts off, and you've got to remember, the background is this is the section right before this that the disciples were coming to the Jesus and saying, "Who's the greatest among us? Who's the greatest?" And that's when they were at someone's house. They're in the same house. They just had that conversation about who was the greatest. And then that's when Jesus takes a child and puts and wraps the child in his arms and says, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." Now remember, same house, same table, probably same child is sitting on his lap. This is one conversation. This isn't, "Oh, I thought I'd decide to bless the children here, and then another time go over here and tick you off by telling you that you should cut off something." No, this is all the same conversation. So, let's go right into it. Remember, who's the greatest? Be like this child. And now we're in this passage. Out of the clear blue, I love John, but John was so not with it that day. Because John says, right then is when he goes, "Teacher, we saw someone throwing demons out in your name, and we tried to stop him because he wasn't following us." The guy was doing it in Jesus' name, but he didn't do it like us. He wasn't following us. So what are we going to do about it? And that's when Jesus looks right at him and says, "Guess what? He did it in my name. I still got the glory." I can't even believe what John's face would have been going. Really? Really? He doesn't do it like we do it. Can you imagine if you went out somewhere and you went to another church and they took offering up different than we do? They marched down the aisle. They put the offering right in the plates up front, and then they march back, and they're dancing as they do it, and you refuse to put in your offering because that's not how we do it. Guess what? You're wrong. Because it's all being done in the name of Jesus. It doesn't have to be your way. Sorry. There's a lot to get to, so let's sit back. So, he says, "Don't stop him." Now, this shocked them. So now the disciples are sitting there going, "Okay, we've got to accept the church down the road. Okay, we've got to accept other followers, how they do things, if they do it in Jesus' name. Oh, man, we're going to have to get along with that little church that is 45 miles away that we usually can ignore, and we can't now because they do things in Jesus' name and Jesus is honored. It's just not our way." Then here's this kid. Isn't this always the way it is? Parents, I want to look at your faces. Because all of a sudden, here's all this heavy talk, and this kid's sitting on Jesus' lap. I can see him pulling Jesus' ear and, you know, kind of wiggling a little bit because the tone of voice had gotten a little bit stronger. But this child has been sitting on Jesus' lap all this time. And what happens is, I want you to remember the word stumbling block. Because the guy that was throwing out demons in Jesus' name was a stumbling block to the disciples. Now all of a sudden, Jesus is going to say, don't you be a stumbling block to this child. This is beside the point. I love Sean Connery. I prayed that Dan would look like Sean Connery in his 60s. He's getting there. I know. You're working on it, babe. But so what you've got to know, Sean Connery and Catherine Zeta-Jones were in this movie called Entrapment. And that's what Jesus is talking about right here. Are you using entrapment for other people? Are you being a stumbling block that has them fall away from Jesus? Do your actions, do your words get in the way of someone going, if that's what it's all about, I don't want anything to do with it? And how many times have we heard a family member say that? This is the section where the stumbling blocks are the, it would be better for you if. Byron's on vacation. I want you to all turn around and kind of look at the cameras and wave and say good morning to Byron. Because I want him to feel guilt. Okay, now, because he's in Italy, it's not even like he's, you know, somewhere else. But what he would not allow me to do, I love to give you guys things and to have you remember. I wanted to give you all a millstone to take home. And he wouldn't let me. I said, I can get little ones. And he went, no. Do you remember what a millstone is? A millstone is what grinds the grain, but guess what? It's huge and it takes a donkey to pull it. It's huge. And what Jesus said was, it would be better for you to have a millstone around your neck and thrown into the sea than be a stumbling block to this child. You saw the title of the sermon, Swimming with the Fishies. Well, that was one of the punishments that the disciples, when he was talking to them, they understood this, because this was a punishment. They actually put stones and even a millstone around someone and threw them in the lake. That's quite the punishment. And he's saying, if you lead anyone astray, it would be better for you to have that millstone around your neck. And then he goes on to some more, it would be better. If your hand sins, cut it off, because it would be better for you not to have that. Your foot, if it causes another to stumble, have you seen a brother or a sister together? Just stick out the foot and the other kid goes flying. Cut it off. It would be better. It would be better for you. If your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. We are not having any object lessons today. Because it would be better for you to follow Jesus and be that one that people can look to and say, you know what? She loves Jesus. I want to be like that. Entrapment means when you, on purpose, and the thing is, folks, I'm sorry to say, there are people who actually do this, who on purpose want to lead others astray. There are people who will want to say, don't be a part of Christianity. It's not worth it. You can't be independent. You can't be your own person. Of course you can't. You need to be God's person. You need to be Jesus's person. Okay? So what you need to do is be able to say, is it better to hold on to this or to follow Jesus? The Greek word stumbling block is skandalon. It's to cause to stumble. And what we need to know is that that is, do you remember, there's a trap. And in Jesus' day, there was this trap that caught game. And there was a stick that was in the trap. And the stick was the skandalon. Because the stick was the part you pulled out, and the trap went together. Look at your life. Is there any way that people can look at you and say, man, I'd rather be over here than with you? That's scary. That's scary. So here's what I wonder. What if we were to do a very Wesleyan thing and have our mantra be for the week, do no harm? Keep that in front of our face. Do no harm. I don't want to bait someone into an argument just so I can look smart. I don't want to do things and say they're not doing it like us and offend them horribly. I don't want to be the one that says that I didn't preserve what Jesus taught me and I wasn't salt in this life. He's asked us to do big things. But he's asked us to do it in his name, with him as the center. The thing about sin, because this is all, are you willing to walk away and turn a different way? If I'm going to sin, if I'm going to say something that I know is going to irk you, and get you into an argument, and have you stumble. Have you just go into a rage. I'm going towards this sin, and then all of a sudden I realize it would be better for me to have a millstone around my neck. It's wrong. So as I am looking at the sin, I want you to look at your sin and deal with it. Name it, say what it is, deal with it, and then ask God to forgive you. Because he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins if we ask for the forgiveness. And then do you know what happens after you ask for that forgiveness? Because you know God is who he says he is, and you are forgiven, you repent, and you turn this way. I need to ask you a question. How many of you require people to repent before they ask for forgiveness? Let's deal. This fall, let's deal. Let's deal with loving our God. Let's deal with doing things in Jesus' name and not being upset about anybody else doing it too. Let's deal with not entrapping or not, you know, being a stumbling block to our neighbors, to our kids, to our church. And let's be salt. Let's preserve. And then I want you, after you've dealt, ask for forgiveness. Know what it is to be cleansed by God, white as snow. And then turn. Turn the opposite way and follow Jesus.